The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
One of the biggest Muppets on Twitter gives out to everyone but can't take a thing. Purposely gets anyone who says anything slightly negative about him banned on Twitter. No, people who call me the C word. That's what I do. That's one of my favourite things. 03444991000. Oh, man alive. So it's the Fortnite World Cup. If you're watching it, if you're into it, I'd love to know. I'd love to know about it. I think I get it. I've never been into sport. But I get watching excellent, you know, Ninja was playing, you know, Ninja's one of the top 10 Fortnite players in the world. He was playing it. If, the kids, the fish guy, I've forgotten his name, the English kid, the 15-year-old kid, what's his name? Guys, we just said his name. We just talked.
Yeah, but you said it. I didn't.
Crybaby, Metafish. What's his name? Frizzfish. Fishboy. Fishbee. What's his name?
Fish.
We just talked about him.
Filletfish, my wife.
No! The 15-year-old kid. Don't Google it. We're better than Google.
I don't know, though.
We are better.
I'm not.
Don't Google it. I will tape your fingers together. In fact, I'm going to bring in some gaffer tape. No! Don't touch your computer. I'm going to bring in gaffer tape and
you're not allowed to do that. That's like bad teachers.
The name... Busby Fish. Anyway, Busby Fish, we're going to call him. The 15-year-old kid. British. He's British. This is the kid, Catherine.
Is he the one that gave up school?
Yeah, he's homeschooled.
And everyone said, oh, that's terrible. Terrible parenting.
No. You said it was terrible
parenting.
Yeah,
everyone who was important said, oh, terrible parenting.
Everyone who was important. You said it.
Yeah.
Most people, he's allowed to stay up till 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning, because that's when he plays with Americans. And you, Juicy Fish, no. And you said, oh, that's terrible parenting, right? And I went, no, this is great parenting. He's going to win $3 million.
Yeah, but he's going to be educationally stunted.
He's going to have $3 million.
Yeah, at the age of 15. Matt never ruined anyone.
Name one person it ruined having $3 million at the age of 15.
Britney Spears.
I'm sorry, you're saying Britney Spears is ruined? Don't think so. Excuse me, I know my Britney Spears. One of the biggest stars on the planet, has residencies in Las Vegas worth millions.
Yeah, she'd have been happier working at Dairy Queen.
Macaulay Culkin.
Sorry?
Same.
Sorry, Macaulay Culkin, the guy who is now probably still quite wealthy and is in a band that plays covers of Velvet Underground songs but changes all the words to be about pizza. You're telling me he's broken?
He could still have done that.
No, he couldn't actually. Not if he'd not met some of the creative people that he hung out with. Tim Curry and Joe Pesci, for example. Some of the real creative people that he got to hang out
with. Judy Garland.
I'll give you Judy Garland. But that was in the olden days before we knew how to look after weird kids. 03444991000 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. If you want to give us a call. I noticed none of the racists are calling in.
No, too many numbers.
This station really does make me vomit with the playing to the alt-right, hard-right crowd that most of the presenters do. And I'm sorry, guys. I could get more listeners by getting a picture of Tommy Robinson and cutting a hole in the mouth and then just humping it. But I refuse to do that. It's free speech. What's your problem, snowflakes? It's free speech. And if I'm the last vaguely, I'm only left of centre. I'm not full on lefty. I'm not a communist or a socialist or a Marxist. I don't actually know what Marxism is. I'm kind of just slightly left of centre. But if I'm the last slightly left of centre voice on this station, then God damn it, I'll take that and I'll wear it as a badge of pride. We'll go on the, I'm slightly nervous about going on the Facebook page, but we will go on there after 11. We will put on our protective gloves, our hazmat suits. We'll put clothes pegs over our noses and we will go onto the Talk Radio Facebook page where that clip has been posted. And we will see exactly what it is they're saying about me on there.
Well, we'll try to decode some of it.
A lot of people saying, do you remember when you did cocaine, Ian? Yes, I did. I loved it. And if you've not got any for me, could you see if your mate Tommy has? Because I'll bang a couple of lines off of him. Oh, I can't. He's banged up. Let's go to Michelle. Good evening, Michelle.
Hello, Ian. Hello. How are you guys?
Well, good, good, thank you. What have you got for us tonight?
Just, really, it's a little bit all about me, but hey-ho. I called you quite some time ago, and I'd been sober for 3 years, then I'd gone back out doing a bit more research.
I remember you, Michelle. I remember you. Did you phone me over a year ago?
Oh, yes.
We thought you were a journalist. This is Michelle, who we thought was a journalist.
Oh, yeah, because she was asking some very detailed questions.
You were not long after... And we can say this openly and honestly, Michelle, because you've passed the test.
I'm a rigorous honesty.
Or she's playing the long game.
Or she's playing the very long game, because you called not too long after the jungle, and we were getting quite a few journos phoning up, asking quite intrusive questions, pretending to be callers. And I remember you totally, and you asked about me going back into the rooms after my little relapse and what it was like.
I did.
And Michelle, I apologise, because I was quite coy with you because we were getting these calls from people who were not what they were saying they were. And so I was not quite as open with you as perhaps I would like to have been. So I apologise for that, Michelle. I apologise if I seemed cold in any way.
Not at all. I'm 4 months sober.
Yes! This is it! Well done!
And I'm calling you from a convention in Birmingham.
So
I've had about 4 meetings today. And
beautiful.
It's just brilliant, Ian. And really, I just wanted to say thank you.
Mate, I feel bad now because we treated you with a little bit of, well, significant amounts of suspicion, and I didn't share as much as I have done in the past.
But it was a sensitive time and there was a lot going on.
I'm so pleased for you, Michelle. I'm so pleased. So
you said to me, imagine you go in the room, what do you think they're going to say? Do you think they're going to care?
Yeah.
And they didn't, and I had lots of hugs, and I've cried a lot, and I've done my 4, 5, 6, and 7, and all of that.
Beautiful. Because you were worried, weren't you? Because you'd been sober, and then you were worried that going back, that whatever reaction it was you were expecting from all those kind people who just want people to win.
Oh, yeah, it's all about me, you know, it's all about me. But no, it's, you know, it's brilliant, and it's the right thing, and...
Yeah.
My kids are happy, my husband's happy, and, I'll never forget what you did for me. And you were reassuring, even though you were being a little bit, whatever you said.
You were a little bit cagey. Oh, Michelle, I'm so thrilled. I'm honestly, this call has made my week, and I remember it exactly, you phoning up, and, I've often felt a little uneasy about the way I spoke to you then.
You carried the message, and
you
told me exactly what I needed to hear, and now look.
Nice one. What's the hotel like in Birmingham? Because I used to work in Birmingham and I stayed in some real dumps.
It's okay.
All right. Okay. It's nice.
You know, it's better than me sleeping in my own wee on my settee, which is how my life was before.
There you go. You see, anything is a step up from that.
I can't complain about a small TV when my bed's dry.
Yeah. Oh, Michelle, I'm so pleased for you and I'm pleased for your family, but what a lovely inspirational call to make. Thank you.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation. The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
So, this is what happened on Reddit recently. A wife shared her experience on Reddit. I was staying at my husband's parents' house, visiting his family / hometown, she explained. This was the first time I've stayed with them at their house. Everything was fine until I found out my father-in-law is practically a nudist. I saw him watching TV without clothes on when I came home from dinner with my husband. We're not sure why her husband didn't clue her in before their stay or any point in their relationship for that matter. She continues. Tip of the iceberg, which I think I could see from here, was just after his shower. He's walking around the house naked to the laundry room. He can't even wear a towel. I told my husband I found this to be very inappropriate. Her comments did not go down well with her husband, simply saying his behaviour was very common of him. I told my father-in-law I found it disrespectful that he can't wear clothes around others. This led to an argument where he kept responding with, "It's his house and he can do what he wants." I said, "I'm done," and I booked a hotel for the night and changed my flight home. My husband told me I was overreacting and he didn't support me. At the time of writing, the wife added that she was back home in California while her husband was still at his parents'. So, who's in the wrong? Responses were divided, with some saying the father-in-law should have covered up. It's not as if he's going to die by wearing some underwear for a few days, one person pointed out. Many others thought the husband was the villain of the piece for never having told his wife about his dad. Wow, your husband really should have warned you that his dad's a nudist. He's the real asshole of this story, someone else weighed in. Then again, some people thought the wife completely overreacted. For God's sake, it's just a penis. Not a BDSM torture house. A bunch of guns and swords adept or a religious conversion house, read one comment. So, whose side are you on? Oh, 3444. I know myself.
Are you done?
Yeah.
I know.
Thanks. Thanks for giving me space to speak.
Can I talk now?
Yeah.
Bravo! 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 That was good. I'm going to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get to hear it myself.
Yeah.
I was thinking. I was thinking about a film that I really want to watch. Which I'm hoping they put it on the hotel channel tomorrow. I'm going to watch it. It's a porno. Yeah. Maybe we need some time apart. Maybe a trial separation. Could be.
Fine by me.
Well, I'm away, not next week, the week after.
Good for me, good.
And then
for
you're
me.
Away the week after.
Perfect.
So it's 2 weeks apart.
Can we not speak until then?
Have to speak before then because you're co-hosting my radio show with me.
Am I though?
Just found this video on YouTube. It says this isn't fake, and it's called "Some Weird Noises in My House."
I've heard some weird noises.
Okay, this is an actual occurrence. I was writing my story when. Okay, this just found this. It's probably, okay. First off, I don't anyone thinking this is a prank or anything.
I'm not thinking that, no.
And I'm not going to scare you by flashing creepy pictures of possessed people up.
No.
This is bone fide, scary, unknown sounds within the bowels of my house. Oh, let me
plug it. Gosh, bone fide in your bowels?
Yeah, here we go. Well, here we go. Let's have a little listen. Here we go.
Yep.
Now, what about to say is going to escalate the fact that this video might be fake, but you might have to turn up the volume a little. These sounds aren't monster trucks, okay? I don't trust people who spell okay, O-K-A-Y. It's okay. It's okay. Not O-K-A-Y. That is not okay. It's okay. It's a little quiet, but I promise it's not a joke. Okay. Okay. O-K. And if you don't want to believe me and skip this video, you go right ahead.
I don't believe you.
I understand. Can I skip? No, I do that sometimes when I'm not sure, but seriously, it's...
Okay, shit, you not. There's something under the...
Whoa!
There we go. Well done.
Oh, come on, man. What is he swearing for? People, I hate people. Hate people. 0344-499-1000. Call straight to air for the last 35 minutes of the show, dear listener. Let's do that. Let's do that. Why the hell not?
There's no swearing in my story.
No. A woman lived with her dead mother for 3 years after embalming her body in salted road grit. an inquest heard. My boys love the yellow grit bins. They love them. They love them. You never know what you're going to find in them either. Obviously grit, but quite often bits of trash as well that people have put in there, which I think is naughty. Obsessive hoarder Valerie Jones, who didn't score very highly in our Names in Rock songs, got three, I think.
Yeah.
57, was found collapsed and severely dehydrated when police forced their way into a cluttered home. But there was so much rubbish in the house, it took them a week to find her mother's remains. An inquest heard Gaynor, a name you don't hear too often these days, 83, hadn't been seen alive for 3 years, and Valerie had failed to raise the alarm. But she had bought 4 bags of salted grit around Christmas 2015.
Ooh.
The coroner believed she used it to embalm or cover up Gaynor's body. The pair moved into the country cottage in Aberaeron, Ceredigion, in 2012. Let's just take this call. Hello, caller. You're on line one. You're on the right wireless.
Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Well, then why did you say hello again?
Because I didn't hear what you said. Why are you being so, aggressive?
Well, I actually wanted to call and ask you something nice, actually.
Away you go, sir.
Do you fancy a bun?
I'm going to pass on tonight, but maybe let's chat about it next week.
How about Kath?
No.
I've already got one.
Thank you very much, caller. I appreciate that. Very kind. Our callers are great at offering gifts and bringing things and all kinds of stuff. 03444991000. The pair moved into the country cottage in 2012. It had no running water or electricity and was described as uninhabitable. Detective Constable Caris Sisto said that when Valerie woke up in hospital, she said she could not remember her mother's death and gave the impression she was still alive. Valerie suggested she understood one of Salt's uses was preservation. This is a sad story.
Yeah, someone's not well.
Yeah. DC Sisto added the mother's body was found under a layer of rubbish and tarpaulins. She could only be identified by her DNA and the cause of her death remained a mystery. Recording a narrative verdict, coroner Peter Brunton said there were many uncertainties, but he was confident there was nothing sinister about Gaynor's death. He added, on the balance of probabilities, Gaynor Jones died of natural causes, and her daughter took measures to embalm or cover up her mother's body because she was unable to report the death to authorities. He said Valerie was being cared for at a mental health unit, and it was not in public interest to charge her with a crime. You do wonder, there are so many people, this woman's in her 50, 57, so many people, you know, obviously we all have people that we might be thinking of, in their 50s and 60s who are perhaps not as equipped to exist in the outside world and are looked after by parents. Yeah. And once those parents die, the parents have done their best they can and looked after them throughout their life, but they have made no provisions for them after they die.
And they are not on the radar of anyone.
Yeah.
You know, and we've had experience on this programme of trying to get help for those people. And I remember one particular instance, one of the council spokespeople was kind of being a bit snarky with me.
Yeah.
Saying, you want me to institutionalise this person? Is that what you're saying? I said, no, but could you get them assessed? Oh, so you're saying that they can't cope then? You're saying that they... I say, no, I'm asking you. I'm saying I'm worried about someone. Could you go and see if they're all right?
Yeah.
But it was kind of the finger of blame went on me for suggesting that someone... For making a judgment about someone and not being a professional.
Yeah, yeah.
So it wasn't even as if... there wasn't a curiosity there.
No.
It was kind of, well, they're not on our list and that's the end of that.
And that's the end of that, guys.
And you're not a professional.
Let's go to line one. Hello, line one. You're on the wireless.
Hello,
that's you.
Oh, hello, it's Christina again.
Hello, Christina again.
Hello, sorry, no, this is quite poignant for me. I grew up, my mum was a hoarder.
Ah, okay, go on.
So, yeah, I grew up in a house where nothing was ever thrown away. Like, things like yoghurt pots, we'd eat yoghurt and it would be washed out and kept on the side.
Yeah.
or, you know, milk bottles. You know, remember the tops of those? She used to collect those.
The silver foil tops, yeah.
Yeah.
So what was your house? So this was when you were growing up as a kid, you lived in this.
Yeah.
So what, your house, because we have images of hoarders where it's you can't move anywhere in the house. Was it as bad as that?
Yeah, no, that. It was terrible.
Oh, mate.
We couldn't have friends round or anything. It was,
At what age did you start to think maybe this was not normal behaviour?
I think around 13, 14, I got a bit embarrassed because my friends would come over.
Yeah.
And no, it was when I started going to my friends' houses and seeing them all clean and nice and lovely.
Yeah.
But yeah, our lounge, literally, there was no floor space or anything.
Wow.
You know TV magazines that you used to have where you used to circle, like, the programmes you wanted to watch? They would all be kept. Nothing was thrown away. And when I was older...
Why was she doing it, Christina? Did you ever find out?
Well, yeah, I think so now. It turned out that she had a daughter when she was 18, which my... Granddad made her give up.
Wow.
So I think that's why she could never ever.
So it was kind of I've given something away that I didn't want to. So I'm going to control everything and never give anything else away.
Yeah, exactly.
Poor woman.
Yeah, it was horrible because I used to try and help her out and say, "Look, Mum, you don't need that." So I'd do a tidy up of the house, but literally in the big old black bins that you have.
Yeah.
She'd drag it all back in the house.
Yeah.
Is mum still with us?
Mum was homeless for 8 years. And she was found. She's now in a home, and as soon as my granddad realised that, he passed away 4 days later.
Ay. Do you gosh, what a complicated life you've had, Christina.
Yeah.
No, you have. I don't, you know, genuinely, what a complicated life. How are you?
Well, you know what I'm like. I'm a chubby comedian, and I've got bipolar.
Right.
I'm just trying to get on with it. Now I've got a court order for us to sort our finances, because my granddad got £5 million worth of property.
Sorry?
Blimey. But he put my nan in a home. Met a new lady.
Yeah.
That pretty much all goes to her. My mum's in a home now.
Do you see your mum?
I can't. I really can't. My sister walked past her on a park bench about 3 years ago and couldn't even talk to her. I used to be able to do a bit, but now it's just a bit...
Why? And I'm not in any way judging you at all. Why can't you talk to her?
Because it was always me dealing with everything. Back when it was going on, when she was the hoarder, and she wasn't very well, my granddad said I would be the one that would have to section her, and my sister didn't want me to do it.
Yeah.
So I kind of went with my sister's wishes, didn't do it, and then on and on it went on, and, yeah, it just got a bit messy. I did meet up with my mum several times, but we'd meet up, and then she'd sit at a bus stop, and I'd say, "Mum, go home." She said, "No, I just want to sit at the bus stop." She's not well, so...
No.
Yeah.
Gosh.
So I always tried to help. But, yeah, I'd have social service call me. She'd have fleas and be scratching, and...
Oh, man.
Yeah, it was horrible.
Well done for surviving that, Christina. And being, you know, I use the phrase because I know you'll kind of get it, relatively sane. You know, it will be hard.
Oh, God,
we know, man alive,
like, I'm pretty decent.
Yeah,
like,
I know. And I know that you've got your issues, but to come out alive is incredible. So, well done. You should be very proud of that.
Yeah, so I'm sorry you have to call back in again, but that hoarder thing is just so relevant to me, and people don't really understand it. Because it is a mental illness, and it's always because something was kind of taken away. And you've got relevance to everything, because I kind of went through a stage where I couldn't throw a lot of stuff away. I've moved about 5 times, and people say, "Why don't you throw that away?" because that's not a memory about that. And they said, well, even if it goes away, you've still got the memory in your head. You don't need to have a physical thing in your hand to know that that is there.
Yeah.
Christina, thanks for sharing that.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation. The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Hello. Belfast tomorrow. Be exciting.
Yeah.
What time am I saying? Picking you up 11:30.
Mm-hmm.
Okie dokie. It's happening. It's happening. 0344 499 1000. Call straight to air. Let's go to line 3. 3, you're on the wireless.
Good evening, Ian and Catherine.
Good
Nelly
evening,
here.
Line 3, Nelly. Yes, sir.
Hello there. I'm calling you live from Kendall Calling Festival, where it's very, very wet.
Oh, beautiful. What, who's on? Who's playing right now?
Well, we've just got back and finished seeing Nile Rodgers and Chic, who were absolutely excellent. Yeah, just like that.
Yeah.
About an hour and a half of songs, flawless, didn't put a not wrong. I mean, the amount of songs that were like, I mean, he played songs about from like Madonna's, some Madonna stuff, some Bowie stuff that he was co-writer on or produced, and the body of work was just quite, I mean, an incredible body of work, really. A great live show. Badly Drawn Boy was seen, Reverend of the Maker, so some good bands to come next tomorrow and Sunday as well. So
who have you got to come?
Doves, Manic Street Preachers, who I know Catherine doesn't like. We've got a couple of tribute acts.
If you tolerate this shit, then your that's children the one. will be next.
Yeah. That's the one, yeah.
That's actually a great song.
But my mates are doing a barbecue at the minute, and we've got like a few tents together under like little sort of
1 o'clock in the morning going on. Barbecue.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wow.
But I've come away because there's a random man just turned up. So I've sit down with him.
Is he high on drug? Is he taking drug?
Well, he says he hasn't. I think he's just had a lot of drink, and he's sort of I think he's a bit lonely, but I just don't want him there.
He's after your meat, Nelly.
Unlucky. Yeah, he wants your sausage. Mm. He wants to get his hand on your sausage.
Well, tougher, really, because I'm not giving my meat to anyone.
Well, here's the thing.
Not any stranger.
Tell him to jog on.
The thing is, I'm not that sort of... I'm the sort of guy who just sort of puts up with it and grumbles.
There has to be an alpha. You can't be a group of beaters, beta cucks. There has to be an alpha somewhere in your friendship group, doesn't there?
Are there no women there?
Yeah, you're right. Are there no women?
There is a laugh there, but we're not even beater mentally fair. We're just all losers.
Well, then you're going to have to share your sausage with this man.
And probably move in with him.
Just tell him to get lost. Come on, mate. Listen, we're having a great time, but we're having a little... This is a private little do for a few friends.
Isn't your missus missing you? Say something like that.
You think he's already said that he's come to the festival by himself.
Oh.
But I don't quite believe him.
Okay, well, unlucky. Unlucky, mate. Listen, this is just... I would have no qualms saying, sorry, mate, look, it's nice to meet you, but this is just a private little gathering. Lie if you want. Say, look, it's Tony's birthday. It's a private little gathering. It's nice to meet you, but really, we just want to do this amongst ourselves. And then if he starts giving you aggro, you just punch him in the gut, kick him in the face, get your chucks out, which I'm sure you've taken to the festival, and you do some chucks on him.
I think he might just go away crying,
Nelly, let me speak to him.
I know what you do. Has no one there got a guitar?
No, unfortunately not.
I was going to say, if someone starts with Wonderwall, that'll see him off.
Nelly, let me speak to him. I'll get rid of you, buddy.
Hang on. Wait a second. I'm just going to head back to our camp.
I'll get rid of him for you. I'll talk to him.
Right. Okay, hang on a second.
How's it going?
No, I'm just talking to Ian Lee on the telephone.
Ian.
Ian.
Let me talk to him.
Ian Lee. Ian. Do you want to talk to him?
Okay. Ian.
I'll get rid of him.
Liam.
Hello, mate. Who's this?
Liam Ian.
Yes, mate. What's your name?
Frank. How's it going?
Hey, Frank. How you doing, man? Listen, you're on the radio, so don't swear. Are you having a good time?
I'm having a buzzing time. Where are you from, mate?
I'm from, I'm in London at the moment. We're on Talk Radio right this very, very second. Did you enjoy Nile Rodgers and Chic?
You're on Talk Radio 09991.
Yep, that's it. 09991.
Yeah, you're on it.
Yep.
9991.
What drugs are you taking tonight, man?
Well, hang on a minute. I can't be telling you. I don't know you.
Well, I'm an ex-junkie. I've taken loads of drugs in my life. I don't do it anymore, and I can tell when someone's high.
Yeah, well, I'm not high. I've just had a bit of a laugh tonight, maybe.
A bit of acid?
No, I've not had any acid. I don't like it.
Whoa, watch your language. Like that's it. A yellow card. Don't do another swear, otherwise you're gone. Hey, listen, can I ask you a favour? Can I ask you a favour?
Go on.
My mate Nelly, who you just spoke to, it's his birthday tonight, right? And him and his friends are having they're having a nice little quiet barbecue, and they just want it to be their friends and people that they know. So would you do me a favour?
Could you want me to
I would like you, if at all possible, just give them the phone back and just let them get on and have their own little private evening. Nothing. They've enjoyed talking to you. I've enjoyed talking to you. It's been really nice talking to you. But it'll be great if you wouldn't mind just going back to your tent or whoever it is you're with, or if you're on your own, go in your tent or find someone else, because they just want to have a great time. And if I'm honest, I think maybe you're just killing their bars ever so slightly.
Ian, it's Nelly.
Yeah, did he go?
No, he's still here. I don't think he quite understands English.
I had to turn the fader down and use the dump button twice.
Apologies for that. I don't know.
Just tell him to. He's off his mash. Just tell him to get lost. Did he hear any of what I had to say?
I think he heard it, but he didn't understand any part of it whatsoever.
Then you need to just say, go on, mate, off. What you need to do is all of your mates need to make a big circle of your own urine. So just urinate in a circle. He won't be able to cross that. You're marking your territory. He will not be able to cross that.
Or you all have to be more loco than he is.
Yeah.
So start punching yourselves in the head and stuff.
Start smearing feces on your genitals. Hope that helps, Nelly. Thanks very much for your call. I tried. 03444991000. Let's go to line 2. 2, you're on the wireless. Thank you very much indeed. 03444991000. Let's try line. I'm getting quite a few calls now. Let's try line 6. Good evening, line 6. Hello?
Hello?
That's you.
Hi.
You're on the radio.
I've phoned you up before. It's Josie.
Hello, Josie.
I kind of zoned out of social media for a few days.
Well done. You must feel great.
And then, but then I decided to go on it tonight, and it seems you've caused a bit of a fucking use the word shitstorm.
You can say shitstorm. I thought you said the F word. If I can use the word. And didn't it sound like it? Flipping after that last guy.
No.
All I'm doing is exercising my free speech, Josie. That's all. And some people have got very upset.
I know.
But yet not one of them phoned up to have an actual conversation with me about it.
It was like, read the comments. And I'm reading through the comments then. Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
But it's really hard when I ring in, I normally can hear you on the phone.
Oh. That's because we didn't answer you, because we're going straight to air. It's a slightly different setup.
I know, this is it. And I've kind of lost, because I haven't listened for a few days, because I zone out of everything, like radio, because I don't have TV.
Oh, good for you. Well, this is great. This is a good little technical digital detox.
Well, yeah, it's kind of a self-care thing.
Yeah, well done. We more people should do it.
And I tried to zone out of everything, and then tonight I thought, I'll zone in back in again.
What a night
to zone back in. And then I'm like, Ian, what you been up to?
what a night to zone back in, Josie.
I know. But the trouble is it's awful, because, I think you've had some quite serious conversations, haven't you?
Tonight we've had some serious ones. We've had some light ones. It's been the mixture that I like it to be. It's all clunky gear changes. That's what it's all about.
Yeah, I was just like, what have you done? Do you know when you zone back into something, you're like, oh, what's going on here then?
Yeah. So when you zone out of everything, when you have a digital detox and zone out of everything, what do you think about?
Well, you know, because when it's a bad, because trouble is, I think about my family all the time, but I try to zone out of all thinking. I've got something that I do.
Yes.
Where I
have a little fiddle.
Sounds really boring, but I do cross stitch.
I don't listen to someone. No, that, I bet that's very zen. You get into a nice meditative state.
Right. Yeah. So I zone out of everything and sort of like concentrate on sewing.
Yeah.
I have to. I literally, because I don't have TV anyway, yeah. So I listen to radio all the time, and I turn the radio off.
Yeah.
My kids, you know, I have the phone on so that my kids can get a hold of me. But I zone out of social media.
Turn the phone off. Get rid of the phone. Ditch the phone.
Yeah, well, radio, I don't, you know, but I can go back, but you have to stop yourself. But you can't do that sort of thing, can you? So,
no.
Because obviously you work in media.
Well, I'm certainly planning on not using my phone much when I'm in Rome in a couple of weeks with my boys. I'm going to take it out with me so we can take some pictures, but that's it. I'm not going to be tweeting too much. If you see me tweeting too much, Catherine, please send me a text telling me to get off Twitter.
I joined Twitter. Twitter. I joined that.
Yeah.
And my kids took me off it.
Good.
They said it's too nasty.
It's
you're not allowed on it.
I wouldn't want my mum on Twitter. It's a second. Imagine getting your mum on Twitter. God, dear God. No, thank you. Well, Josie, listen, it's good to have you back. I'm going to go because we've got a few more calls coming in and we're getting to the end of the show. Thank you for that. Let's go to line three. Line three, you're on the wireless.
Listen, right, I don't listen to this station. And I've turned it on. I was like, what? What? What are you talking about? You're like Nick Robinson, Robert Preston and Andrew Marr all rolled into one blatant ass-licking. He must have a giant tongue like that. He's like, oh, can I take you out on a date? Candlelit dinner, me and you. I'm sorry, I just touch. Oh, could I touch you? Could I just touch your skin? Ian, you filthy git! Can't believe I just heard that shit. Shut up! He's dead! I'll just tune in! Never again!
Don't know about you.
Thanks very much for your call. He makes a good point. He makes a good point.
I didn't hear any of that, but I'm disgusted.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation. The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Why did these beings choose me? There is an orange yellowish light comes on. David is looking at the light. It doesn't hurt his eyes. He is aware of the beings. They are standing over him. They are touching his body. My name is David Huggins. I'm 72 years old, and I live in Hoboken, New Jersey. I was living a perfectly normal life until I started remembering things. It was just like image upon image upon image. It wouldn't stop. I was so scared. The eyes were just glowing. They hit the ground running straight toward me, and we floated up to some type of craft. I said, you hurt me, you hurt me. No, 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 no. This is the woman I never told anyone about. When I was 17, I lost my virginity to a female extraterrestrial. That's all I can say about it.
That's the trailer.
Virginity lost.
That was the trailer for the movie Love and Sorcerers documentary. And it really is incredible. I haven't seen the whole film itself. I've literally just seen the trailer, but I, if it's anything, if that 1 minute 32 is anything to go by, then it's going to be astounding. Really pleased to welcome, back on the show, Professor Joe Lavens. Joe, I've got this right. I know you're born in Wisconsin, spent some time in New York City.
That is correct.
Now you're in, Leicester.
That is correct. I'm at the Montfort University. I'm lecturing astrology and,
specializing in astrophysics.
And you've started your own group, the PUFOG. What's PUFOG?
PUFOG, a Puber UFO group, PUFOG. And okay. You may remember I was on your show, some of your lists. Remember Ufologistics, Denied to Deceive, Two Legacy of Arrogance. It was my book that I was promoting, discussing, if you like, at the time.
This documentary, Love and Saucers,
yes, sir.
Have you seen the film?
Yes, I have. The coitus happened in 1961 when Huggins was a teenager. It's a fascinating story, and it's one that I have heard of many, many times. And it's so extraordinary because the subject matter, I've heard of it many times, but it triggered in me thoughts of what happened in my past.
Okay.
In 2004.
Ah, okay. I didn't know this. I thought we were talking about the movie. Are you saying, and the movie is about David Huggins, who had his virginity, he's an older man now, it looks like he's in his 70s, had his virginity taken when he was 17 by, well, he paints, and he's painted a very busty, clean-shaven, sexy alien lady, who, for some reason, she's lifting her own breasts up. I don't quite know why that is.
Well, as if to offer them.
Offer them to us, mm-hmm. Yes. But this has taken a turn already, Professor. You're saying this happened to you.
I'm not saying that my experience was exactly like Huggins, but all I know is that in 2004, I sent you a diagram of what happened to me. I was in an area that's in the eastern plains of Colorado. I'm a painter myself. I was out living near Burlington. If any of you are listening, that's not far from Denver.
Okay.
I was out in a mountainous region. I was painting. I'm an artist as well as a scientist, both right and left side of my brain, if you like. I'm lucky that I do have those skills. And I was visited by, call it what you like, extraterrestrial aliens, an empress who I called Barbinkim 23.
Sorry, what was her name, sorry?
Barbinkim 23.
Barbinkim 23, and she was an empress.
An empress of a kingdom. I don't know the name. I was not party to the name. I was not given the name. And I done it with her on two occasions. I did it the 13th of May.
You did what, sorry?
I done it with her on two occasions. 13th of May 2004, and exactly 1 year later, 13th of May 2005.
Okay, well, if we can take these chronologically. I've just tweeted the diagrams and the photos that you sent me.
Right.
So I'm looking at the 13th of May 2004, 6:21 in the evening.
That is correct. That's when coitus took place.
Yeah. Barbinkium 23.
Right.
Well, can you describe her? She looks like a dog, and I don't mean that in a rude way.
She's on all, looks like a,
she looks like a dog. She's on all fours. On her back, she has tits on her back.
She's got tits on her back, yeah. But
come on, no one's perfect.
No, and she's got... So you're, and I've had to pixelate the picture because it's a little bit vulgar for some people.
Okay, right. Okay, I was just attempting to give a diagram.
Oh no,
that coitus can take place, and you made it clearly led quite a sheltered life.
Well, no, I've had sex. I've got kids. I've never been with an empress from another planet.
If I may.
Sorry, I do apologize.
She's in a position that you can receive. I don't want to be too graphic for your listeners, but that's the same position that human beings can do as well. And Barbinkium, that was a position that you liked.
And it says, well, I'm not seeing that caption. She has a long thing. It looks about...
I think it was a ponytail.
It does look long.
The female human Ariana Grande, but apparently that's...
It's a tentacle going up your anus, etc.
It went up my bum, et cetera.
And that comes from the top of her head. It's about 8 feet long. What was that tentacle made of, and how did it affect the sex?
You'll see from the diagram.
Yes. What did it feel like to you? Did it feel leathery? Did it feel
scaly?
Scaly,
slimy.
I gotta tell you,
it was pleasurable. It was maybe possibly secreting something from the end of her tentacle as it went up my bum. But
okay. Now, how did this situation occur? Were you in Did she chat you up in a bar, being slightly flippant?
No, this is a problem. I mean, it's a very interesting question because, you know, when I first met her, when I was out there painting, the sexual congress itself is extraordinary. A tiny bit of foreplay, maybe touching, tits on her back. And that. But what I would pay her a compliment. You have a beautiful smile, Garbinki. I'm 23. Would you like these flowers? Of course, flowers in her culture mean a little more than vegetation. She'd sniff them and she went pee pee on them. But that's fine.
Yeah.
All the conventional things that people do when they're courting on planet Earth is not necessarily. She had one word that she said to me throughout, Konkili. Konkili, she'd say, and sometimes.
What does Konkili mean?
Well, it's very difficult to say. Sometimes she was angry.
Yep.
When the foreplay did not please her. Konkili, angry. And sometimes softly when she was tender. Konkili. Konkili. And that was only one of three words that I understood at that time.
Okay.
Konkili. Dulay Sudan, which to me always sounds like Dudley Sutton, who was in Lovejoy.
I've worked with Dudley Sutton.
Okay, but that was
he
not.
Was
I'm not saying she was. Yeah,
know.
Okay, but I'm not. I'm not saying she
was a great actor, Dudley Sutton. Right.
Okay, I'm not saying, but I'm not saying it. No. She was saying Dudley Sutton from Lovejoy. I'm just saying that the last it sounded like Dulay Sudan.
What's this? Can I ask? What's this, the second picture? It looks like an elephant with a wig on. What's that a picture of?
What I discovered was my manhood went all small in that at the end when after Congress had taken place. Tiny little tip on the end.
Oh, that's your penis. I thought that was an elephant. I've tweeted these pictures. If people
No. That was my willy. But the thing is, what happened was at the end of it, it got very small at the end, very small. But that I don't know what relevance that is.
And it says there's what's that dripping out of the end? And please, you know, be careful.
It's not coming out the end, you know, but it was radioactive.
Wow.
Yeah.
How do you know it was radioactive?
It looked like it. But I love Barbinki in 23, and I got to say, unlike the guy we're talking about,
yeah.
David Huggins, I believe that I had some form of union with Barbinki in 23. I found myself at one stage, I woke up and I think we had some sort of marriage ceremony. There was a finger buff and some music after, but if that music was discordant. But nevertheless, it was clearly a celebration. And I've never married since, and that is probably because I believe I am married to Barbinki in 23.
Okay, can I ask, this is very complicated, and this is going down a strange track. Melvin, we're going to come to you in a second. How did you forget about this? You didn't remember any of this until you saw the movie
correct,
Love
sir.
And Saucers.
That is correct, sir. There are certain things that are triggered. Quack hole.
Excuse me?
When the word quack hole was the third word that I knew. Quack hole.
Yes.
And, Barbinki 23 used to say that, and one day I thought I heard that word, and that triggered something. And it was only when I saw Huggins' documentary that I remembered that I love Barbinki 23, and as far as I'm concerned, we're a married couple. And I'm convinced that one day she's going to come back. There was a time in 2000 where a lady came to visit me, and I was told by a friend of mine in Leicester when I was living there, why I'm living there now. He lives out near Oldby, and he introduced me to a lady called Candy, who had a funny shaped head. And he said that was Barbinki 23, but it wasn't. It was a lady called Candy who worked for Leicester City Council. But I don't think I've ever met Barbinki 23. I don't think she's been back since 2005. But I will meet her again.
Okay, can we take a pause for a second? I just want to bring in a call. If that's 0344-499-1000, if you want to. Talk about your own experiences, or if you want to question the professor about his, or talk about the David Huggins movie. I've got Melvin on the line. Good evening, Melvin.
Good evening, Ian. I've got a question for the professor, if that's okay.
Yep.
Hello, Melvin. Hi.
Hi. Big fan of your work. On
Thank
a previous
you.
Show, you mentioned about space AIDS.
Space AIDS?
Yeah. Can you only catch space AIDS on the Outer Rim?
Yeah, okay, that's a joke about...
Well, hang on, is it a joke? What do you mean by that, Melvin?
Well, no, I'm just concerned, that's all.
Can you catch space AIDS in the outer rim? You mean the outer rim of the universe?
Yeah.
Of Uranus?
No, the universe.
Okay, because Ian, seriously, I've been invited on here to talk about.
I think that's a serious question, Professor. I'm not quite sure.
Can I catch space AIDS on the outer rim? No.
Melvin, does it answer your question?
Yeah, that's great. Thank you. Okay, thank you, Melvin.
Thank you very much indeed. Not quite sure.
It's a serious question, though, isn't it? I mean, how do you know that you are not going to be contaminated with that kind of congress?
Well, Barbinkium 23 was a virgin before she met me. I was not. And she was pure. And when she said conchele to me a couple of times, I took that to mean that I'm chaste, I'm pure.
Did you use
contraceptives? No.
And well, I was going to ask if you did. What would you use for re-entry?
What would I use for re-entry? Well, first of all, I think you're making a joke.
I couldn't let a re-entry joke go.
Okay, is there anything, if you got a serious question?
I have got a serious question.
Right, okay. Well, let's hear it.
Was it a case of E.T. Bone Home?
If you're just going to make smutty jokes about a love affair I had with Barbinkium 23.
Okay. I'm being mean. Let's take a break, if that's okay with you, Professor. We'll take a break. Okay,
my wife, you're talking about Barbinkium 23.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We're talking to Professor Joe Lavens about two encounters he had, 2004-2005, with a space empress called Barbinkium 69. And I've had...
23, Barbinkium 23.
I apologise. I've had a few people, Matty and a couple of texters and a few others have said that I'm being disrespectful to your wife, and Catherine has told me off during the break, so I would like to apologise, Professor.
That's okay.
Can I ask a question? Do you like cocks?
What? You mean the animal, like a chicken?
No. Are you a fan of cocks?
Sarah Cox?
Brian Cox, Professor Brian Cox. Do you have
found... I love Cox. Yeah, I love Cox. I've got books. I mean, I've got...
Could you say that again? You just dropped off for a second.
Sorry, I love Cox. I love Cox.
There's something wrong with this phone line. Sorry, Professor, just one more time.
I love Cox. I love Cox. I love the work of Cox.
Okay. Chris says, I've never ever listened to your show before tonight. This guy is great. Can you ask the professor how he knows so much detail when he couldn't understand the word that she says?
The word that Barbinkium 23 said?
Yeah.
How do I know so much detail? I this is what I'm saying to you. I didn't really understand it. There are three words that I understood. Wakol, Dolay Sunan, and Konkili. Those are the only three words. What they mean, I understood more in the intonation, more the power of the way they were said. I don't speak that language. What I will say is that I speak the universal language of love, the eternal language of love. And Barbinkium 23 and myself are married. We are in some sort of matrimonial, communion.
Did she put your ring on her finger, or vice versa?
Yeah, I didn't have a ring as such. No, I mean, we touched and we held our hands. She had six fingers. We put our hands up together. And I think that was the sign of the union. I didn't have a ring or anything.
Steve says, don't be mean to him, Ian, just for a laugh. It's cheap and it's beneath you. cross-examine him, ask him if she has a sister, and if she's available, as I'm a little bit lonely tonight.
Right, okay, this is what I'm talking about.
Okay, I'm just reading them out as they come.
Okay, well, I've been on your show a number of times now.
Can you ask the professor roughly how many people worldwide have claimed to have had these encounters? And I'm going to stop it there, because it then goes on to say encounters of the perv kind, and I actually, that's disrespectful.
No, it sounds very loving.
But I would like to know how many encounters like this have
been. Right, you want me to answer a question. That guy's clearly made a joke. He's implying that I'm a pervert, an intergalactical pervert.
Okay.
That's what he's implying.
Well, no.
How many people worldwide have had sexual congress with an alien?
In
the thousands. In the thousands. That's the answer.
And
they're
all with Barbincium 23.
No, that's my wife. Not all being with my wife. God's sake.
But you've not seen her for 14 years.
No, I haven't.
Well, tonight, Professor, she's on... I'm joking.
If only.
So you've not seen her for 14 years, and you've forgotten about her until a couple of weeks ago.
That's not... You know what? What happens... You know, there are certain secrets that have to be kept.
Yeah.
And I don't know the ins and outs precisely, but I had a part of my memory erased.
Okay.
Deleted temporarily, and I had a trigger... And I wonder whether there's a chance she's coming back. I wonder whether that's what the trigger is.
We got an anonymous texter here. I listen every night, but it's horrible you guys making fun of a nutcase. Well, that's unfair.
Excuse me. I'm not a nutcase.
Okay.
I know it's far out what I'm saying, but I was on here to talk about the Hoggins documentary.
Mm-hmm.
There's another guy. You heard he's got a film out. There's me. There's 1,000 other people who've done, you know.
Okay. I'm just reading them as they come. Let's bring Ollie into the conversation. Good evening, Ollie. You're through to Professor Joe Lavens. What would you like to say?
Hi, Ian. Hi, Kath. Hi, Professor.
Hello, sir.
I was just wondering how you know it's a she, because they're alien. And I was thinking maybe the tail could be its member. It's penis.
No, that wasn't a penis. It didn't have a tail. It had a tentacle. The undercarriage? Can I say undercarriage?
You can say undercarriage. Yes, you can, Professor. Yes.
She had an undercarriage.
Undercarriage. How sure are you? Because could there be a gestation period as well of you having a baby?
Could there be a baby, Professor,
there
somewhere?
There could well be a baby. Well, I'm
in you through its penis.
What, a baby in me? What, from the tentacle? That's a good question. No, I don't think that's right.
How do you know?
Well,
it's an alien. It could be a long 10-year gestation period.
Well, it's not.
How do you know?
Have you always looked in the toilet after you've gone? You could have given birth already and you wouldn't know.
Okay, some time ago I went for a health check, all right? I don't know whether you're familiar with this, but the doctor looked up my bum, and there was nothing up there. At least of all an
alien
baby.
Very sensible. I've had a prostate check recently. Very sensible thing to do. Does that answer your question, Ollie?
I don't think he does. I think he needs to figure out what gender.
I put my...
And my father.
Okay. Ollie's, I think, being slightly disrespectful.
Yeah, okay. Well,
Paul says, can you ask Professor Lavens? I've got a frog in my throat today. Paul says, can you ask Professor Lavens if Barbincium 23 has experience of movements near the brown star? I've heard there's lots of fun to be had there, but it's not everyone's cup of tea. Now, I don't know, I've not heard of this brown star. Where is it? And would she have experienced movements there?
You're talking about my wife's mom, aren't you?
I don't know. Paul? Oh, I see.
And it's called Paul as well.
He could be.
I've seen the film.
Okay, he could be talking about
my
that.
My wife's brown star. What's the matter with you?
Okay, just asking. So where does that leave things, Professor? Are you
some counters of the
optimistic?
Bone.
All right. Are you optimistic that Barbincium 27 is going to be coming back?
Okay, first of all, it's Barbincium 23.
Apologies.
She's my wife.
Couldn't read my writing.
I'm optimistic she's coming back. Brown star and all.
Okay. And have you tried to communicate with her? I don't really know.
I have. I tried telepathically to communicate with her, and I know that's too much for you people to understand, to get your heads around. Yes, I have. I tried to telepathically tell her to come and get me. And I love her.
Okay.
Can I ask a question?
Yes, you can.
Obviously, it's been a while, and I understand that there is a huge attachment there. I've seen the diagram.
That was a big attachment.
I'm just wondering whether, having experienced what you have with Barb Binkium, a human woman will ever do.
No, that's right. And that, thank you, at last, someone who actually sympathizes. I have had a number of relationships that have crumbled. Tentacle aside, it was not pleasurable having a congress with a human lady. And some of them were quite fit and everything, you know, not just ugly ones and that. Mm-hmm. But once you've done it with an alien, I'm telling you, there's no going back.
You can't manage with the boobs on the right way around.
No, I like the boobs on the back. Both the same size, they were in everything. Proper ones, nipples on them and everything.
Okay, Professor, thanks very much for coming on. Is there going to be a book about this? I've tweeted the images. Will there be a book about this?
Well, I think so. I don't want to jump on the Hawkins bandwagon, but I'm thinking of releasing a book, and when it comes out, I'd very much like to go on a different show and not yours. Okay?
Okay.
Thank you.
May I ask...
Well, or perhaps you and I could have a chat.
May I ask why you'd like to go on a different show?
Well, there's people coming on and making jokes about my wife's boobs and undercarriage and tentacle with my... Anus, and all this sort of stuff, and pure old double entendre is about having sexual congress with an alien, and that's why I'd rather just draw a line under it.
Okay. We'll leave it at that.
Thank you.
How is your gear stick in your cockpit?
Yeah, this is what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
How is my gear stick in the cockpit? It doesn't even work, that one. So if you're gonna make a pure old double entendre, make sure it works, okay?
In space, no one can hear you come.
I think he was really upset there.
I think he was very upset there.
I bet you want to move things over.
Please do. Thanks very much indeed. Nick says, I had the same experience with Barb Binkium, 23, and believe I'm also married to her. I am devastated to hear this call. I'm getting a lot of flack. Twitter's being a very, very angry place at the moment. I don't think that was necessarily offensive. Listen, my job is to ask the questions, and I've got to have a little bit of fun every now and then, but I don't think that was too disrespectful. Kath's going to go and speak to him, and hopefully smooth things out, because I would love to get the professor back on at some point. Is he all right, Kath? Okay. Oh God, another message to the boss. Wow. Okay. Listen, if you've ever done it with an alien, 03444991000. It does seem to be that there aren't that many people, Catherine, in this country. It's a big thing in America. People talking about doing it with aliens and stuff. It's a really big thing. You don't hear too many stories about it in the UK, and I wonder why that. I wonder if it doesn't happen here as much, or if people are more embarrassed to share it over here. I wonder what the problem
is. I've got theories about the accent, because obviously the Americans have been blasting their voices into space for quite a long time, and I think maybe they're attracted by the accent.
Right, okay, I'm going to take that call straight to. Let's go to line one. Hello, line one. You're on the wireless.
Hey, how you doing?
Very, very well. Who is this, and how can I help you, please?
Oh, I'm James. I just started listening to you about 3 nights ago, and I'm just laughing so, so hard.
Well, don't tell the professor, because apparently I've really offended him, and I was just trying to...
That's his wife you're talking about.
This is his wife, Barb Binkium, 23. Do you believe any of that, Boy Lee?
I believe he believes it.
Well,
go on, James.
I'm not sure, you see... The problem is that I would have got it wrong as well, because it was my bitch from 23, and then I kept saying 24, 25.
Oh, we're losing you.
I mean, I suspect there are several.
We're losing you.
Why the 23?
Well, I don't know. Maybe that's just part of the name. What, did you say
she's an empress? She might be the 23rd.
Yeah, she could be. I mean, why is there an A in your name? It's just, who knows how the naming system works in other parts of the galaxy.
But he started to get cross, though, didn't he? He got cross. He didn't really have a sense of humour, I didn't feel.
He's been on a few times, and here's the thing. The professor will be all right, but he does get very dry. Do you believe in aliens? Have you ever seen anything?
No. Absolutely, completely and utterly not. Oh. No, not at all.
Wow, you've gone all scientific on this. I've seen a UFO. I have seen an unidentified flying object. My ex-wife and I saw it. We saw something in the sky, and we could not explain what it was.
Well, I thought I saw one, but then it was a drone, so it wasn't.
Okay. All right.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation. The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Here we go. Last hour of the show. So if you want, I'm hungry. I'm up at 5 o'clock to do Good Morning Britain. Grab your hat, come travel. I think I've only got 2 hits tomorrow. Let me see how many hits. Quite often they bump you anyway. Here's the joy. They bump you. And, hang on. They bump you. And, then you still get paid. Getting picked up at 5:10. You'll be in at about 5:15. Okay. Jeez. What's the point? Part of me is thinking, what's the point of going to bed? Will I feel 2 hours sleep? You feel worse?
No, I would definitely go for the sleep.
So story one is Jessica Alba and Gabrielle Union, Woman Crush Wednesday. We caught up with, this is at 7:10 tomorrow. We caught up with LA's finest, Gabrielle Union. Could you Google her for me, please?
Yes.
And Jessica Alba, she's the singer.
No, she's an actress, an actor.
She's an actress. Pierce's favourite actress stars alongside the AGT judge.
America's Got Talent.
Judge, as a detective duo, and they have a big crush on Meghan Markle. LA's finest is Wednesday at 9 p.m. Okay, fine. Okay. It's the spin-off series of the Bad Boys films. Focuses on drug enforcement agent Sydney Burnett, played by Gabrielle, now working for the LAPD, alongside Nancy McKenna, played by Jessica Alba. Story one. Story two, a Once Upon a Time in America thing. Story three, Love Island people coming back home.
Okay.
Okay, and that's as far as I can see. That's it. I might be doing that a couple of times. Let me see what time, because I think I finish. This is how I can do it, right? On 2 hours sleep. I think tomorrow I finish at 8:10.
Beautiful.
Yeah, there we go. So I'm on air at 6 o'clock at the start of the show. I'm on air for the presenter chat. That is the big time. That is the big time when you have a little spontaneous chat about the news stories. That is the big time. And here's the thing tomorrow, guys. No whales, no owls, no neck braces, brace eye, nothing. I'm wearing a suit. I'm wearing a full suit, a shirt, which I'll have to iron when I get thing. I forgot to bring my spray starch. And a tie. I'm doing it. I'm doing it straight.
You're gonna play the game.
Tomorrow I'm playing the game, because tomorrow I'm seeing this as my audition to be back in the big time. Let me do that again, because I think I can I'm seeing tomorrow as my audition to be back in the big time.
Baby.
That's not bad. Let me try this though. Tomorrow. I'm seeing tomorrow as my chance to audition to be back in the big time. That's a bit mysterious.
Can I have a go?
Yeah, go on.
You do realise that tomorrow could be your chance to be back in the big time.
That's not bad. Try it again.
Here's the thing, Ian. Tomorrow is your chance to be back in the big time.
Yeah, that's all right. You do it better than me. So tomorrow, this is it. 6 o'clock on air. I think I'm only doing one hit. 7:10. Still getting. Here's the thing. These three shows. I don't want to brag.
But
I'm doing it Monday. I'm doing it Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. That's the mortgage paid for the month. You know what I mean? That's, there's TV money. Radio, I got to do a few weeks' work to get the more. TV, that's the mortgage paid for the month. 3 days. That's it. That's it. That's all I want. So I want to be back on TV so I can pay the mortgage every month. Not much to ask for. 03, and also I loved it. I wonder who's, can we see, could you Google who hosted Good Morning Britain this week? Because Piers is off, which means I don't have the dilemma of asking him why he blocks me on Twitter. Because I did think, if he's there, I've got to say something. I'm guessing Ben Shepherd and Kate Garraway, two of my favourite people. Ben Shepherd recommended the Ninja restaurant in New York, and Kate Garraway is funny. Two of my favourite people, my favourite peeps. My peeps and my bros, my bras. So we say bras and we mean bros, and not saying brasiers.
I can't.
Can you just Google it? Can you just Google it?
Who is presenting GMB this week?
Yes. Can someone... can someone tell me...
I'll just look on Twitter.
Okay. We'll wait. It's like when we had to wait 20 minutes for that guest in America earlier this evening.
Yeah, while I pay for someone's cab that you'd invited in.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Yeah, yeah. I would have tested the phone number. Oh.
Would you?
Yeah, I would have.
Okay, well.
I would have rang it and then hung up. I would have rung up.
Well, I thought I was going to... Yeah. Ben Shepherd and...
My peeps, I'm coming back. Benji and Katie, I'm coming back. My peeps, I am back in the big time. I am back.
Is he doing that on Facebook?
I think he's getting blown off. Look for Kate Garraway and the showbiz man I'm replacing, whose name I don't know because I never have to say it.
Richard?
Curtis.
No.
Arnold?
Yes.
Doing pottery.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's
what, like Out of Ghost?
Yeah, like Out of Ghost. Try and find that. It's funny. While you're finding that, it's very, very funny, actually. I'm going to go to Sloop John B. Good evening, Sloop.
Hello to Brother Ian and hello to Sister Catherine.
Sorry to keep you. I see you've been on the line for ages. I appreciate it. It's just been
fun.
A little bit all over the shop this evening, but we're all good.
I would have been listening anyway, so
thank
it's
you.
Great. But since you're going to be staying up all night for your big GMTV in the morning...
Yeah, GMB, mate, we don't call it GMTV anymore, it's GMB, what's wrong with you losers?
GMB, sorry.
Kath found the clip of Kate Garraway
and
Richard
Arnold.
They're
making a big knob.
Making a big knob out of...
And then they make a right old mess of it.
Get a retweet on that.
It's a good clip, that, isn't it? The clip's somewhere on Twitter, I'll see if I can find it. So if someone can find that clip on Twitter and retweet it to me, I'd retweet. Go on, go on, let's do this, buddy.
Right. Now, listen, I'm really late to the party with this, but a podcast has turned me on to a film which I watch, which you love.
Oh, yeah.
Jim and Andy.
I didn't like the film.
Well, no, I know you're a Kaufman fan, right?
Yeah, very much so.
Right. Well, I was listening to a podcast with Jerry Lawler, and I know you're not into wrestling.
Oh, no, Jerry the Hardman Lawler, of course, the hitman.
Jerry the King, man.
The King,
Jerry
that's the King. King, he's the King, yes.
Right? But what was really interesting was he spoke... quite openly about, like, Kaufman. I didn't know they were friends.
Yeah, of course they were.
In real life, that was just a massive goof.
Oh, come on, Sloop, you know how wrestling works, you know how showbiz works, come on!
The Letterman thing, I had no idea.
The Letterman thing is, for those who don't know, the wrestler and comedian, and part of the Kaufman's thing was kind of winding people up. He ends up having a huge wrestling match and breaks his neck and is wearing a neck brace. There's a great clip of the two of them.
Which wasn't real.
Well done. There's a great clip of the two of them on David Letterman, and if you watch it, you would think it was real. Lawler just gets up and just slaps Kaufman, and he falls on. Yeah. He falls out of his chair, and Kaufman storms off, then comes back and throws coffee on him and swears. And Letterman didn't know it was going to happen, and so Letterman is genuinely, well, I think you can say some of those words on TV, but what you can do is throw coffee on again, and it is so well played out by the three of them.
Well, the thing was, did you know that Kaufman had given Lawler a signal that he was going to throw the coffee and stuff? I mean, the thing is, what I was going to say to anyone that really enjoyed that Jim and Andy thing, on YouTube, there is actually, it's taken from a podcast, but like Lawler goes into detail about both Carey and Kaufman.
Yeah.
But the thing that really blew my mind after watching that film, Jim and Andy, did you know that Lawler was sacked from the film and was asked to come back?
Because he didn't get on with Jim Carrey.
Yeah. And he says that Milos, the director, called him up. He'd been away for weeks and went, you know, Jerry, I'm sorry, please come home.
He said, why is Jim Carrey being in character all the time? Kaufman wouldn't do that. He would go in a room and he'd start laughing and go, can you believe what happened? And he'd come out of character. And he said that Carrey was just being a dick, which is what I thought of him after watching that film.
I think, because the thing was, Kerry knew they were friends, but what Kerry did, which changed my mind about this sort of end of the film, was recently, Lawler received a box and at his home address, and when he opened it, there was a letter from Jim Carrey, and it was basically vintage vinyl albums recorded by wrestlers through the 1950s and 60s.
Okay.
And he wrote him this beautiful letter and basically said, in other words, I'm sorry for everything that happened. It was an absolute honor to have, like, worked with you and whatnot. And I thought, it's sad that that wasn't captured in that film. I know it was a documentary, but it kind of, you know, when you hear something after the fact and you kind of go, ah, okay, I see that in a different way, you know?
Yeah, I do. I've been alphabetizing my CDs, and I found a big stash of bootleg DVDs, including, between 4 and 8 Andy Kaufman DVDs, full of pretty much everything he ever did.
I've got something juicy for you here, though.
Oh, yeah.
On that same piece, Kaufman recorded a load more promos at Lawler's house.
Yeah, I know. I've seen the film. I'm from Hollywood. There's a DVD called I'm from Hollywood, and it's all.
Have you seen them?
Yes, mate. The things where he's going. I'm going to come to Memphis. I'm Memphis, Tennessee. I'm going to come down to Memphis and kick your ass.
This is toilet roll and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I actually emailed Lawler on his website and I asked him because he said there's stuff that's never seen the light of day.
Oh.
And just randomly, I just thought, I'm going to hit him on his website and say, look, is that ever going to see the light of day or whatnot? Because apparently people were calling up and they were saying that they were going to burn the television station down.
Yeah.
And it's just brilliant, like Kaufman got wrestling.
Sloop, I'm going to end this. I'm going to end you here. We didn't do the quarter past break, did we? No. I'm going to end you here. Your mission is to get Jerry Lawler. Is Jerry Lawler still? He died. Is he still alive? He died.
No, he's still alive.
Right.
Just say one thing. He has got the wickedest. He's an artist now. On his website, he's got a cool T-shirt of Kaufman. People need to get this.
Be quiet.
Okay.
I am now handing you a very important job.
Do this.
Get American wrestler Jerry Lawler on my radio show.
I'll do it.
That's what I like. That is the attitude I like. He won't get the number wrong. This is Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation. The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Just squeeze the spot on my arm. Beautiful. Catherine wouldn't do it. I did. You can email me and Catherine now, ian@ianlee.com, ian@ianlee.com. They go to both of our phones, so please don't think for a second you're communicating directly with me.
Or
Catherine. They're coming to, we both get them, they come to our phone, so, you know, ian@ianlee.com, mainly if you've got work for us. But Phil has emailed, Ian, I'm messaging as I listen via the podcast, as I'm usually in bed by the time you're on. But you were talking recently about documentaries you remember, and it sparked a memory of a documentary I saw years back, and I needed to write this before I forgot it again.
Oh.
I'm always doing that. I'm always having great ideas and things that I want to remember or watch or buy, and then I forget.
Got to write them down then.
Now, I think it was... So if anyone, he doesn't say what this thing is called, so if anyone knows what this is called, this is why I'm doing this, okay? Get in touch, 0344-499-1000. Now, I think it was very early 2000s, and it was about a family of three, a couple with a daughter. The father of the three was the main focus, I remember. He had bought land on a tropical island somewhere, and he planned to turn it into a holiday resort. Does this ring any bells with you?
No.
I don't know this one. We then go with this guy his ventures to get this off the ground either fall apart, fail, or hit a brick wall, and he slowly breaks completely down over the course of it. The staff he hires are terrible, he loses pretty much all his money, and at one point we even find out his wife is sleeping with one of the builders. It wasn't an easy watch, but certainly fascinating in just how raw it was. This sounds right up my strata.
That's not... I don't remember the builder part in this, but it's making me think of the Queen of Versailles, but that was 2012.
You know Bilderberg?
Yeah.
Are they the same people behind Build-A-Bear?
No.
Okay. Certain?
I'm pretty certain.
Bit of a coincidence, don't you think? It wasn't an easy watch, but certainly fascinating in just how raw it was. I can't remember what it was called and can't find anything online similar. But without spoiling it, the ending is heartbreaking. Can we put it to the listeners? Or by any chance did you see this? P.S. I'll tell you the ending if you want me to. Right, so I'm guessing the dad dies at the end. That's what I imagine from that. Does anyone know what that is? Because big fans of Paddington Green, I never got the rest of the series off of the scooter lady who I was talking, was Facebooking her. We became Facebook friends and I was going to go around to her shop and get it. She sent me a flash drive with it on, but it didn't work.
Yeah.
And then I was going to go around to her shop and get it. What's her name? Claudia. Claudia.
Come to the name.
Let me have a look on Facebook because she's a Claudia Agius. Agius.
Agius, yeah.
Agius. In fact, come on my radio show. There we go. Just posted a thing on another thing. She's really very, very lovely and very helpful and absolutely batty. And so that was Paddington Green. But I don't know. I have no idea what this. I would buy a box set of all of those. The one that I really like that I can't remember and no one seems to know what it was. Filmed in West Hampstead and it was about several estate agents, and again that was early 2000s, late 90s maybe, and it was like estate agents being dicks basically, loads of young kids being estate agents, and I used to go to West Hampstead for whatever reason, and I would see this estate agents, and a friend of mine said that's where they filmed, that was the main one, big glass window, and I can't find anything about it. And I would love to watch it again. I used to love all those. There was the good one as well about the couple that ran a double glazing firm, and it would often go into like a fantasy sequence where they suddenly be ballroom dancers and stuff. I used to love all of that.
Then of course you've got the lovely Sam Sparks. He used to work for Luton Police and was made famous by what was it? Was it called Road Cops or something?
What's that? Who's Sam Sparks?
She's
I know Sam Sparks.
Of course you do.
All right. Don't say it like that. I'm a fan of the British Police Service.
Yeah.
Sam is a lady police.
She's lady. A police officer.
Police lady. My favourite one of those was Series 1, so much so that my wife got them to send me a birthday card. It was two couples, two gay guys, in their sort of 50s, 60s, and a man and a woman who wanted to buy a plot of land in Greece and build their holiday apartment, but it had to have a huge window. That was the thing. It had to have a huge window. And then eventually the straight couple pulled out of it, and it's just these two guys, gay guys. I used to love that. The first series of that was absolutely brilliant. The second series I bailed out of because it was obviously all set up and like they had a lodger and there was just like lots of shots of the main guy looking at the, I think they're called Brian and Roger, I think, looking at the lodger, and it was just so set up and I was out. But the first series of that was absolutely joyous.
Then of course you got Cruise. Made Jay McDonald's career.
Yeah, what was the one that made...
And then Airport, Jeremy Spake.
Jeremy Spake, who married a Brazilian model.
Gosh.
Yeah. I interviewed Spake once. He was on Rise. What a nice guy.
My friend Brett was briefly on that as well, because he used to work for EasyJet.
I thought those ones were a little bit too pop.
Well...
For me. A little bit pop. I preferred a slightly...
What was the one about The Big Shop?
The Big Shop?
The Big Shop.
I've got all of that on...
reason I've seen it. You lent it to me.
Did I lend it to you? The Big Shop is great. 03-44-499-1000 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. You'd be very, very welcome. Catherine Boyle, I feel that you've not yet earned your keep, young lady. So
you're an outrage,
over
sir.
Over to you.
I've been peddling away over here. It's just I look graceful. Pedicure.
Hang on a minute. I'm so sorry.
Right, yeah, I've been scrabbling around.
Thank you. One thing you are like a very Mrs. beautiful. Overall. Fun, one of the funniest people I know. You're stunning. You're very, very talented. graceful you ain't.
No.
Graceful
you're
not.
Mrs. Overall, got two suits. Pedicure trend sees women getting long fake toenails, but not everyone's a fan, right? So if you want to shape up for the summer, girls, you know, I sometimes worry that we're going to... You know, Pat Butcher is supposed to have been representative of the sort of woman who still dresses like she did when she was happy, right? Yeah. So that was why she ended up looking kind of 80s during the 90s.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah, she was stuck in an arrested development.
Basically, yeah. And there's a lot of people like that. And it's always a worry that when you find something that works for you, you stick with it even though things move on, right? And so you might end up looking dated. Fear not. I'm about to help you out. This is what we all need to be doing. I don't know how we're going to put our shoes on. But this pedicure trend is taken to Instagram. Hashtag long toenails will show you a number of photos of women's feet with bright and sparkly acrylic sets on all 10 of their toes, but like finger sets.
Oh, so like big, so big old things.
Like, you look like a monster. It sure is a strange sight, but it seems some people are really loving the look. Look.
I don't understand it. My brain can't... Has she got six toes? Oh, it's 2 feet. That's two people together.
Feet.
That was what's confusing me.
So they're really, really long. So you imagine like a dragon's feet.
Do you know what? That works, actually.
No, it doesn't. That's horrible.
That is actually all right.
That's horrible.
But if you imagine someone sucking that off and then you swallow the toenail.
But imagine if they were real. Right, you know, like sometimes you'll meet... For example, my Spanish friend's granddad and dad.
Okay,
I've got a long nail on one of their hands for picking the Spanish guitar. And it's just hideous. It's horrible.
Yeah.
It's horrible.
Well, you see, I used to have to cut my mum's toenails.
Yeah.
That's not a good thing.
Oh, you know, in the Guinness Book of Records, there was an old Indian gentleman who had very, like, he had fingernails like curly Watsits.
Right.
No, curly, like quavers. It's a similar look, right?
By the way, Simon and Ms. Critchley, no, you're sending me a comedy series called The Estate Agents. This was definitely a fly on the wall documentary. Okay, we may have a name for that other show. Go on,
Brilliant.
Sorry.
So as well as coloured nails, some are even taking things to a whole other level with French tip toenails. You know what French tip is? You know when women have
Is that when you come on a lady's...
What? No.
Breast. Is that the French tip?
No.
I don't know it then, sorry.
The French tip is when you draw on a white line at the top so it looks like you've got really, really clean nails.
So it's kind of close.
The photos have racked up hundreds of likes each, with some branding the pedicures pretty and beautiful. Unsurprisingly, though, not everyone's a fan of the trend, because they're not all perverts. Others commenting, ooh, on the foot snap, saying it looks gross. Another person wrote on Facebook, this is unsettling. This wouldn't even fit in my sneakers. Someone else replied, this is just wrong. A third added, I'm going to throw up. Definitely no. There you go. There's your French tips.
Okay. It's weird, isn't it?
It's horrible.
It's a strange old thing.
How can you put shoes on? Disgusting.
Right. So I'm being told by... A1 Kilt Hire, who are my favourite Kilt Hire place, that the TV show that the guy was emailing about was called No Going Back. It was an island in Nicaragua and was on Channel 4. But then when I go to YouTube and look for No Going Back, maybe there was a different series, because that one is set in Spain. Is Nicaragua in Spain?
No.
right, hang on a minute. No Going Back. Nicaragua. Hang on a second. No, because this could be tomorrow in the green room when I'm supposed to be watching, you know, bloody rubbish. No, there's No Going Back Crete, which shows Cox's moving to Crete. There's No Going Back Spain, but there's no Going Back Nicaragua that I can find.
Mm.
So if anyone could help, that would be awesome, because I want to watch that. Let's go to Steve. Good evening, Steve.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Hello, Steve.
Hello.
Hello, Steve. Can you hear me?
Stop messing around.
Oh, well, I'm not messing around. I'm waiting for you to say something.
Well, can't you hear me then?
Pardon?
Oh, stop it.
Now, A1 Kilt Hire is saying they removed the program as it was so upsetting. The guy killed himself then. That must be what that is.
Blimey.
Well, if anyone knows... that sounds morbid, but I would, if anyone knows where I can get it from, I would like to see that. Let's go to Steve. Good evening, Steve.
Hello.
Hello, good Steve. Evening. Good evening. Welcome to the show, Steve. You're very welcome. You're very welcome to the show.
I doubt it. I was just wondering, Ian.
No, you're very... No,
come on, man. Honestly.
No, hang on.
Stop wearing short trousers and having arguments with your shoes.
Right, hang on a minute. You're welcome to the show. Why would you doubt that?
Oh, come on, Lee. Those teeth of yours, they need bloody filing down.
Sorry, what is this?
You sound nice.
What's a rude gentleman? But even though, Steve, I'm the bigger man. Yes, even though you've insulted me twice.
You're 6'4", yeah. But you're boring. Why can't we have Wild Al Kelly on?
Because, he's not... No one even knows who he is. He's not had a radio show for 20 years, you absolute pudding.
But you know he's much better than you.
He's one of the best. I used to phone him up.
Next to you, honestly.
Okie dokie. Thank you very much, Steve. You can aim it at me, but you don't aim it at anyone else.
Anyway, I would love to hear what he had to say.
No, I've got his number. We'll give him a little call tomorrow. We'll give Steve a little call tomorrow. Some of that was insulting. Don't wear shorts.
Well, it was insulting if you're 12.
It's terrible, 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 terrible. It's very, very peculiar. Tell you what we'll do is we'll leave Steve on the line, right? Steve's there. You still there, Steve?
Yes.
There we go. We'll leave Steve on the line, and if he can wait 20 minutes, right, on the line without hanging up, without disappearing, we'll let him speak at the end of the show. We won't interrupt him. We'll let him do whatever it is he wants to do at the end of the show. You're okay with it?
Yeah.
He can be rude as long as he doesn't swear.
Cool,
we will let him do that. You up for that, Steve?
Thank you.
You up for that?
Lee, okay.
I think Steve is up for that. But Steve, you up for that, buddy?
Yes.
Good lad. Okay, he said yes. So we'll come to Steve just before the end of the show. We'll give him a good crack of the whip. We'll let him say what he wants. But he has to earn that. Let's hear an advert for one of our colleagues. This is Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation. The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We've got Rory.
Hello, Ian. How are you doing?
I'm very well, Rory. Are you on speakerphone?
Good. No, sorry, it's Bruce. Is that as bad, or is that...
Unless there's some disability that's preventing you holding the phone in your hands, then, yeah, that's bad.
Oh, is that better now?
Yep, much better.
Bluetooth.
Have you got an earpiece? Is that what you were talking to us on?
An earpiece, like one of them things that taxi drivers had in early 2000. Wow.
Is your phone clipped onto your belt as well?
No, I lost that in 2009.
I'm sorry to hear that. What a year that must have been.
Oh, I know. It was so good. Anniversary. It's the year of
10th anniversary of you losing the belt attachment for your mobile phone. What are you doing to commemorate?
Oh, God. I'll go and try to find another one in the river, maybe, or something.
BBC, you know? BBC local radio is having a month-long season of tributes and Vox Pops about the experience. It's going to be good. So what have you called in for us tonight, Rory? Why have you called in for us? Not what? That's a crazy sentence.
I called in because you put out a topic, and I thought I had an answer to the topic.
Yeah. Okay.
Songs that where the singer mentions their own name.
Yeah, go on. I like this.
The Bottle by Gil Scott-Heron. Yeah.
I don't know it very well. Can you sing it?
See that black boy over there running scared, his old man in the bottle.
Can you sing the bit where he mentions his name?
They turn to me and they ask me, Gil, now, don't you think it's a crime? Time after time, people in the bottle. There's people living in the bottle.
Rory singing Gil Scott-Heron, someone I'm not particularly familiar with, but I'm certainly aware that he's... Rory is capturing that black vibe that I know that Gil Scott is so powerfully a communicator of. Rory, it's on the list.
Cool. Do you think it's a good idea to beat that tired, though?
Another way you're being tired and stuff, and you're going to be shattered by Friday. I know there's, I do that sometimes and I get like a high from it.
Yeah. I have to do it because it pays really well, right? These three days are going to pay my mortgage for the month, right? And it's, the job itself is easy. I mean, today I was on air for 9 minutes. And I went back to the hotel by 8:30, had some breakfast, and I was in bed by 9:30, and I slept. Tomorrow I can't sleep so much because we're off to see a play with John Malkovich. We're going to go and see John Malkovich in a play. John Malkovich, and I'm slightly more excited at seeing, I think it's Doon McKeegan, is in there, the new David Mamet play. It's going to be heavy. It's going to be heavy, man.
I saw Doon McKeegan once on the tube. And she was reading a book, a Flann O'Brien book.
Oh, there you go. Okay, I see. You noted the book she was reading. That's not weird and stalkery at all, is it? I like Doon McKeegan. I think she's a brilliant actress. I think she's very, very funny. And it'll be nice to see, you know, I would say a cult British star, maybe slightly bigger than a cult, opposite a really famous American actor. It'd be an interesting pairing. I don't think I've seen a David Mamet play. I've seen the film of the boring. I've seen the film. What's the Al Pacino film that's David Mamet? They're all salesmen. Nigel? No, Nigel. What's the Al Pacino film where he's a salesman, written by David Mamet?
I've no idea. Sorry.
Okay, we'll come back to you in a minute, Nigel. That's a shame. Someone. We're just trying to. We're just trying to raise people up, trying to get highbrow here for a little bit. That's what. So, Rory, Glengarry, Glen Ross. Yes! Yes, man! It was Glengarry, Glen Ross, Nigel.
Oh, was it?
Yep, it was. Rory, anything else?
No, good. Good to talk to you again. Hope you're having a nice time.
It doesn't phone for ages, and then that.
Hope you're having a nice time. Let's say hello to Nigel. Good evening, Nigel.
Oh, good evening, guys.
Good evening. What can we do for you?
First of all, I'd like to wish my happy birthday to brother Michael today. My brother.
Happy birthday, Michael!
And he's listening to the show, because I just rang his wife earlier. So... anyway, happy birthday, Michael.
Happy birthday, Michael!
Love you very much. And another strange thing is I found a letter, a song that was written for me about Michael Jackson.
Oh, gosh, here we go. Two birds, one stone.
Well, it was written by Crazy Horse. That was on The Voice some time ago. You may have heard of Crazy Voice. Crazy Horse.
The Native American Indian chief...
No, he's a singer that writes his own songs. He was on The Voice on TV about a year ago.
I only watched one episode of The Voice. That was recently. It was The Voice Kids, and I thought it was an awfully cruel show to put children through. I thought it was exploitative.
The Crazy Horse is his name, because he's got long hair like an Indian.
Like a horse's mane. He's got a big tail, and his shit is collected by people in shovels, and it's worth money.
It's good for your roses.
Yeah. Can you sing the Michael Jackson song?
It's only a short song, but people may appreciate it. I think he's quite a good songwriter.
I'd love to hear it, mate.
He's been writing me songs for a couple of years
now. He must be tired. I'd love to hear it.
I'm going to just sort of talk my way through it, because it's got...
Don't bother. Here's the thing, Nigel. I think too many songs these days are actually sung.
It's a lot of effort.
It's so much singing.
I will sing it, but it'll be different. It'll be like a cappella, anyway.
Okay, so you're going to rap it?
I'm making my own tune up. I've got my own tune in my head for it. So here we go.
Here we go.
We can't forget the man with a thousand songs. We can't forget the man who made us smile. And in the light of day, you can hear his voice and say, looking back to the youth of yesterday, look inside the man with a heart of gold. Think like a child, that's what I'm told. the greatest entertainer in the world, I say, looking back to the youth of yesterday. Michael, oh Michael, there will never be no one like you. Michael, we won't forget you, 'cause the world is thinking of you too. Respect is what you've got now you're gone, but now I know that life goes on and on. There'll always be a day we can say your songs will say, looking back to the youth of yesterday. Michael, oh Michael, there will never be no one like you.
Okay, well, I've got to pull you up on a couple of things. I did a little bit of research there. At the start of the song, you said he had 1,000 songs. He didn't. He only released solo songs.
I was worried about the way I was banging.
He only released 137 songs. So, factually, that's incorrect. But otherwise, that was lovely, Nigel. Thank you, mate. Thank you.
It was really difficult with not knowing what tune to go with it.
Yeah.
It just worked.
And not mentioning the crimes, yeah.
No, but the tune was okay, wasn't it? The tune went with it okay.
The tune was absolutely great. It was a really powerful reminder of what a dark, evil force he was and how the world is better without him.
I didn't know him, but do you believe that's true then?
I don't know. I'm teasing. I don't know. I said that maybe I got it wrong the other day.
Can I just mention quickly, Ian, that I got another bill from EE, and my what's the person's name? The person who's helping
the advocate?
The advocate who's helping me, I've given him about 4 messages and he hasn't got back to me yet. Even someone is helping me to send the messages, but he must be quite busy.
I would keep trying.
But you wouldn't pay anything till I've spoken to him, would you?
No, I would not.
Because he may be able to lower it even lower than what I did.
Certainly. All right, Nigel. Good luck with that, mate.
Yeah, there's so many bills. Anyway.
Thanks a lot for your call. It is appreciated. Let us go to Terry. Good evening, Terry.
Hello.
Hello, Terry. You're live on Talk Radio.
Hello. I've got a lot to say, really. First-time caller.
Are you a long-time listener?
What do you class as long time?
I would say over 6 months.
Yeah.
You get the bell.
Thank you very much.
What made you pick up the phone? There must be a reason.
I don't know. It was the guy who found something in his drawer in the kitchen.
Oh, yeah.
And I also found your number on this card I've got. I've got the...
What card?
It's the Late Night Losers.
Have you got a membership card?
Yeah.
Well, hang on a minute. Did you buy a T-shirt or something? Or did we send you a card?
I did.
Oh, buddy, you're welcome then. Of course you are. Congratulations. Well done. You found the number on the card, you dialed it, and you get to speak to us live.
Yeah, my heart's beating very fast.
It's a weird thing to do, isn't it?
My wife's just getting up.
This is a weird thing to do, phone a radio station. I don't know why people do it. I'm glad they do, otherwise my job would be very, very different. But I don't know why people do it.
2 seconds, the wife's just getting up.
Oh.
Ian Lee.
Who? Ian Lee. Never heard of him.
Yeah.
Where's the wife going? Is she going upstairs?
You woke the missus.
I did. Shut your I didn't wake her. You woke her. She can't hear me. You woke her, Terry. Don't blame it on me. Are you in bed with? Are you in bed?
No, I'm downstairs.
Okay. Here's the thing, right? Is your wife gone? Are we alone?
She's gone in the kitchen.
Okay. Why did you call in? I'm feeling there's a reason you called in that you're dancing around.
About unusual stuff in the kitchen drawers.
Oh, yeah, go on. All right.
Well, what that guy find, a egg slicer?
Yeah, he could play Stairway to Heaven on it.
Wait, he couldn't, but...
Well, I've never heard Stairway to Heaven, so I don't actually know, A lot of people enjoying the Michael Jackson song on Twitter. A lot of people enjoying. Could we lift Nigel's Michael Jackson song and get it sent over? Would that be okay if you could spend the next few minutes lifting that and then email it over to me or Kath and we'll play that again? Okay, so have you found anything?
I haven't. I'm actually on the house phone. I'm not actually on my mobile, so I can't
walked off the living room at the minute. But I would imagine people have so much crap in kitchen drawers.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah. There's got to be, like, that could be, like, a conversation of the night.
It's
like,
kind of what we're doing.
In your kitchen drawers.
Well, what is in your...
I've got a flick comb.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realise you were a 1950s greaser. I don't. Going to go out with the Teds. I didn't realise.
I'm hitting 40 now.
Flick comb. I've never even seen a flick comb. I've only seen them on Happy Days.
My granddad used to have one, and he was a greaser.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.